Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. We are now in the second hour of the weekend show of the Cortland Economics Report. It's our first segment, and we're talking with Steve Taylor. Steve is a guy who's been looking at the resource sector and precious metals markets for, I guess, about a couple of decades now. Steve, is that correct?
That's about right.
And he claims that a few decades back he went to Claremont McKenna College, a highly regarded college outside of my own beloved Southern California. And, Steve, we just want to talk today a little bit about where you see things going with both the physical precious metals markets and also the gold and silver mining stocks in 2013. You know, Al and I have been talking about sort of the fiscal cliff rhetoric we've been reading about, and also just the uncertainty in the markets as a result of congressional inaction in Washington. And presumably, at least on some level, all of this risk and uncertainty is good for precious metals, or at least physical precious metals, and maybe we can start by talking about that.
Well, I think you're exactly right. As we've talked about on the show many times, myself and many others, the precious metals market really thrives during periods of uncertainty because of the safe haven aspect of the metals. Right now, I mean, we are seeing some of that uncertainty with the fiscal cliff talks, but I think overall the markets expect that there will be a deal of some kind made, and that perhaps the worst part of the cliff will be averted, because we are seeing some of the action in the buying of the metals, and perhaps some accumulation, particularly overseas more than here in the U.S. But I think overall, short term, they're looking at it that something is going to happen and it will be averted.
And do you see 2013 as potentially more volatile or less volatile for precious metals than 2012?
I think there's definite potential that it's going to be more volatile because this fiscal cliff is just the tip of the iceberg. And I think that we're going to see even more difficulty going forward in terms of budgets and not just in the U.S., but overseas. I certainly don't think that the European issues are finished. And when we're talking about other kinds of uncertainty, we're still seeing all kinds of political uncertainty overseas, particularly in the Middle East, and that has been a big mover of gold prices in the past, and I think it will be again.
Well, we've seen central banks buying up gold. We've seen Germany demanding the return of some of their physical gold. I should say the German central bank. We've seen the Asian markets and the Asian central banks buying gold, and, you know, If I were them and I was sitting on billions and billions of rapidly depreciating U.S. dollars, I'd probably be buying some gold as well, right? I mean, there's certainly some demand side from the banks who want to hedge against fiat currencies and holding dollars in euros. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's, as you said, it's not just the problem of the dollar, but also the other currencies that they've been holding, and those have been whittled away substantially, and gold is one of the few places that has been holding its value for those central banks. So it makes sense, especially because a lot of those banks did sell quite a bit of gold in the past, say, 15 years, and are realizing that maybe that was a mistake, especially at the prices they sold it, and are now moving back into that and creating some demand from that end.
Steve, I don't, you know, on this show, we don't get in the business of giving people specific investment advice, but a lot of people do out there, and a lot of people give advice that turns out to be horrifically wrong. You know, and one sort of big caveat that sort of standard investment advisors have given over the years is, well, gee whiz, if you want to have some of that precious metals, you want to have a little gold as a hedge, you know, that's fine, but no more than 5% of your portfolio. And, of course, the rest should be in stocks and bonds and mutual funds and real estate, all of which tanked across the board, by the way, in the big crash of 2008. So all that dollar cost averaging and diversification didn't really work out for some folks, you know. But yet, people who grew up being taught that was sort of what I was taught by my own father. You know, there's still an uncertainty. There's still a reluctance, at least for me, to have anything more than, let's say, 5 or 10% in precious metals. And gosh, you know, looking back since the early 2000s, I would have been a lot better off if that was 50%.
Wouldn't
I?
That
I mean,
is
you
true.
Know, hindsight is 20/20. But I mean, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the business for a while of giving investment advice, and one of the first things you learn and one of the first things you're taught, and it's certainly true, is every person is different. There is no basic rule of thumb. It all depends on not only the person's financial position and financial condition, but also their tolerance for risk and their goals moving forward. So certainly everyone with a rule of thumb, oh, you should only have 5% in this, you should have bonds, you should have, you know, this amount of stocks. There really is no hard and fast rule. For every person is different and depends upon their own personal outlook and their own personal condition. So certainly for some people, having more physical gold than 5% or more investments in gold or heavily weighted towards safety and bonds and less stocks, certainly that can, it depends on the person, but there are many people out there that will work fine, and that they can do that.
Well, it's interesting, you know, we all want to manage risk to the extent we can, but it turns out today that maybe the riskiest thing you can do is follow the herd and do nothing. In other words, the greatest risk is to sit there and get eaten away by inflation, perhaps. But, you know, I wanted to step back maybe and take a little bit bigger picture. Now, certainly there's some trouble on the horizon. We've got the fiscal cliff. We've got some other issues. We've got some volatility that make precious metals look good in 2013, but what about the long run? I mean, from the standpoint of an American investor, the U.S. federal government has an insatiable appetite to spend more than it takes in taxes. And this means deficit spendings, and increasingly this means the Fed, the U.S. central bank, buying up and sopping up all this excess treasury debt because the treasury offerings on the worldwide market are starting to be to resonate less. In other words, demand is falling.
Yes.
So in the long term, it seems almost a near certainty that interest rates are going to have to rise.
Yes.
And that's another thing that makes precious metals an attractive opportunity because, you know, you need an inflation hedge, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And you make an excellent point that long-term interest rates are going to have to rise. And I think that we're also going to see the rate of inflation longer-term rise. I mean, we're in a historically low inflationary cycle right now, but it's not going to last. It will rise, and as you said, a lot of earnings power and a lot of savings will be eaten away by inflation. We've seen it over and over throughout history, and we're going to see it again. And longer-term, I think that gold will resort to its historical norms in those cases, which is as an inflation hedge, and demand will begin to, again, rise for the physical metal, probably at the same time as we go forward over, say, the next 20 years, that worldwide production of gold is likely to begin to fall and fall in a substantial manner because we are running out of not only easy deposits of gold to exploit, but also the larger deposits, those that have traditionally provided most of the worldwide production, are not being found anymore because they just aren't there. And so we are going to see a worldwide decline in the production of gold over the next 15 or 20 years, and that will also have an effect on the price of the metal.
Well, what do you think that means for the gold and silver mining stocks? Buying physical gold or silver is one thing, but boy, when you're buying a company, you're buying a lot of uncertainty. You're buying management. You're buying exploration risks. You got any thoughts about those sectors?
I do, and this is the sector that I've been in for a long time, and it's still one that I really like very, very much, and that is that there's always going to be a need for more gold to be produced. I mean, there is, if you're, say, a Barrick or a Kinross, you're always going to need new deposits to exploit because you're running out of the metal in the ground. Deposits don't last forever, and they have increasingly decided that they aren't going to explore or do grassroots or basic exploration themselves, and leave that to a lot of the juniors because they know that they can take the risk and place it upon the junior exploration companies and instead acquire what they need when it's determined that there's a deposit there. So over the last 5 or 6 years, the junior exploration market has been very hit or miss. It hasn't been part of the rising tide raises all boats. It's kind of been left behind even as the price of the metals has risen. But at some point, I do expect more interest to move into that, especially because I believe that the Barricks and the Kinrosses and the other majors and few mid-majors that are left are going to start acquiring again, and it's going to start putting the focus and spotlight on a lot of these smaller companies.
Okay, Steve Taylor, thanks very much for your thoughts. We're going to have to leave it there, but it's certainly going to be an interesting year both for gold and silver in terms of the precious metal markets and the mining stocks. Thanks very much.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. I'm Al Cortland, and I appreciate you joining me. Got my buddy Albert Matter on the line with me right now. Albert is the chairman of a company that I own shares in. The company is called New Legacy Gold. I announced at least 4 days prior to purchasing those shares that I was going to do it. I did it. If I ever decide to sell those shares, I will also give you 3 days notice on this program that I am planning on selling those shares. Right now, I have absolutely no intention of doing that. I've known known Albert for a lot of years. We have worked together on other companies when I was still doing work for the with the Securities and Exchange Commission. National Gold was a company that we worked on together. That turned out to be a huge success. Albert called me a number of months ago and said, I'm now involved in another company. It's called New Legacy. I'd like you to take a look at it. Big Al did take a look at it, liked what he saw, and bought stock in the company. Now, back on December 18th, New Legacy came out with a press release. I guess for lack of better terms, the title of the press release was New Legacy Extends the Iceberg Gold Deposit. They released results and some analysis of the 6 reverse circulation drill holes, which they recently completed in the Iceberg deposit, which is located in the central mineralized zone of the Red Hill Project, the company's Red Hill Project in Nevada. Albert, what did you guys come up with?
Well, as you mentioned, we've extended the zone. It now extends 360 meters. We were drilling at the confluence of the north-northwest strike, mm-hmm. which is the classic Nevada strike, and a cross strike, northeast strike. And as it turns out, the holes that drilled on the northwest section had gold, and the ones that drilled to the northeast did not. We're going to be traveling up this trend, the northwest trend, for several thousand meters, continuing to identify gold, and we're looking for these cross structures. The gold that we have is a reasonable grade, 28.9 meters of 1 gram, 27.4 meters of 1.5 grams. With gold at $1,700, that's $55 a gram, and it costs you half that to mine it and process it. So they're good grades, but they're not the bonanza grades that we eventually hope to find if we want to emulate the three other gold mines that are in the Cortez Trends, the Pipeline, Cortez Hills, and the currently discovered Gold Rush.
Well, nothing happens overnight. I mean, I applaud the fact that you guys are taking as much, as much care and putting as much effort into what you're doing down here. And Big Al's thinking that, it's you're probably going to have some amazing results, and that's a forward-looking statement. You got to take it as such, but given the location where you are, I think it's fairly reasonable to say that. Probably I would have to say in the spring, sometime between now and the spring of 2013. Is that an accurate assessment on my part?
Oh, yes. We're very encouraged by this, despite the market going down 30% tax selling. We're very encouraged with this. In fact, we're anxious to get back on the property. Both this property, the Red Hill and the Wood Hills, and in fact we'll be drilling the Wood Hills first because it's lower ground, flatter ground, and therefore the snow leaves earlier. We'll probably start there in February. By April, in March, early April, the higher ground, which is the Red Hill project, mm-hmm. should be ready to be drilled, and we'll drill there. We're very encouraged, particularly since one of our option partners, joint venture partners, Barrick, is, as you know, drilling across the valley on the Gold Rush, where they have got announced 7 million ounces last January. Rumor has it they're going to be announcing 14 million ounces this January, which is a double. And I'm told they're going to have 18 rigs on the property next year instead of 12. So my guess is if they're going to put that many rigs on the property, they're expecting another double, which would vindicate the comment that one of their former vice president of explorations made, that they expect this property to rival the ounces in the Carlin. The ounces in the Carlin have gone as high as 55 million ounces to a deposit.
Yeah.
So far in the Cortez, they've never gone past 21 million ounces. But it looks like right across the valley from us, we can see that the rigs is drilling quite a success.
Expanding our conversation, the scope of our conversation just a little bit, I want to talk about Nevada. The first time I ever went to Nevada on a mine site visit was probably 20, 25 years ago. The potential down there, there have already been some huge successes down there in what I think is probably the best state to be in terms of mining in the United States. But what's your opinion? Obviously, you're very, very bullish on what's happening in Nevada, Albert, what's happened in the past, what could happen in the future. Give us your assessment, if you would, on not necessarily your project, but what can this entire state can evolve into, would you?
Well, sure, I'd be delighted. Nevada is one of my favorite places. I like it there. Mm-hmm. Nevada has produced over 200 million ounces. I think this year actually they produced their 200 millionth ounce. 150 million of that has been since 1961, when the initial Carlin deposit was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so to put it into context, right now the reserves are about 80 million ounces, okay, unmined. But there's been a bit of a hiatus in exploration in Nevada during the 80s and 90s, and even in the early 2000s, first of all because gold price was going down, mm-hmm. and second of all because the easily found outcrop stuff, okay, had been walked over and found, and now it takes a little more sophisticated, in fact, considerably more sophisticated technologies, which have evolved in the last 20 years, IP resistivity studies, 3D analysis, etc. And these are now being applied largely by the juniors, also, of course, Barrick and Newmont. But I expect that Nevada will have a renaissance here in the next couple of years, first of all because of this kind of discoveries like Gold Rush will encourage people, and secondly because I think America is going to discover they need to focus more on their own world.
Yeah.
With the way politics are going in foreign countries, who wants to, it's hard enough to raise funds to go drilling and exploring and speculating on this stuff.
Yeah.
And then not have some general take it away from you afterwards.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that happen. You know, I mean, it's the latest thing that comes to mind is some of the nationalization, for lack of better terms, that's happened in South America, specifically in Bolivia. There are parts of South America that I happen to really like, by the way, and that would include, among other countries, Chile. But, you know, the situation in Bolivia is a great example of what you're talking about. Albert, I'm looking forward to following New Legacy in the year ahead and after that, even down the road. I think you've got an interesting situation down there. You've got a great team. Again, ladies and gentlemen, do not construe this as investment advice. I am not a registered investment advisor, and I am not arm's length in this situation because Big Al wrote a check for a fair amount of change to buy shares in New Legacy, and I got to tell you, I'm happy that I did. Albert, thanks for your time, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Hey, just one bit of an addendum that I need to add to this particular thing. 2013, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting year in the metals markets. I mean, we've heard from a number of people who are pretty optimistic about gold and silver, certainly during 2013. I am a player in that market in terms of the companies. I'm not telling you what to do by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. I'm not a registered investment advisor, so it's not my place to really give advice on that particular subject. But I have to tell you, I like companies, and I invest in companies because I really like the leverage, for lack of better terms, that companies provide to the price of gold and silver. New Legacy is a company that I am invested in. I'm not suggesting that you buy the stock or sell the stock. All I'm saying is, you know what? It's a company that Big Al is invested in.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you, over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly, 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Jeff Beist with me again. Jeff being rapidly assuming the role of co-host of this radio show. That's something we're going to work into over the next year or so. Glad to have him aboard. Jeff, Congressman came out with a very important missive this past week. I'd like to talk about it. You were instrumental in what the Congressman had to say. Let's go over that right now. It's very relevant to me and to what's going on in the society right now.
Well, the Congressman wrote his weekly column, but this week he did it on guns and the shooting that happened in Connecticut recently. It's interesting that the article got so much play because it appeared that he was sort of bashing the right's response to this tragedy and that he was bashing the NRA because he came out in the article and said, gee whiz, what the NRA president, what Wayne LaPierre said, is not really what we need right now. It's a little tone deaf, talking about having armed agents in schools. And frankly, you know, that's not the ultimate answer to our problems, is just to arm schools, and especially have federal agents or government agents in schools. The ultimate answer is to create a society where people don't want to shoot each other all the time and that, you know, your kid can go to school and be safe and there don't have to be guns everywhere.
Yeah.
So he certainly thought that the NRA was tone deaf and that they were suggesting perhaps even more state or statist solutions to this problem. And it really sounded like wrong answer, and not even a libertarian answer.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was a libertarian answer, if you want to know the truth. I think the idea of having armed agents in public schools is absolutely ridiculous. This is a societal problem. There have got a lot of scapegoats out there, as you and I have discussed. One of the scapegoats is firearms. Another one of the scapegoats is the pharmaceutical industry, and we're going to talk about that later. But the fact of the matter is, this is a problem that we have in society. I mean, Jeff, if we're at the point where we have to have armed guards in public schools, this society is done for.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to dial it back to individuals and families. I mean, first of all, the onus has to be placed on the individual. This kid who did this shooting is ultimately the person responsible for it and the moral actor who bears responsibility. Okay, Second, I would say, are his parents. You know, third would be his greater family and sort of the school and the society around him. But, you know, every level you get further removed, pointing fingers, placing blame gets really murky. And I also think that both the left and the right have the wrong reaction to this, which is, Al, let's pass a law. You know, let's go pass a law and that'll make everything better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's ignoring the fact that we've had decades upon decades of sort of cultural, intellectual, moral decay in this country.
Right.
And it's not, we're not going to snap our fingers and just have a legislative solution to this. We have to sort of look inward here. And, you know, look, we have armed guards at banks sometimes. We have armed guards in jewelry stores. We have armed guards in other places. And I understand if people think children are very precious and valuable and they choose to have their local school or their private school have an armed guard, preferably private, in my opinion anyway. You know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. It wouldn't be my choice. But, you know, beyond that, let's not look to our state governments or the federal government to pass a bill to somehow make us safe. But that's not how it's going to work. We all know this, Al, deep down. We all know that we have to be better, and government's not going to do this for us.
Well, I think a lot of people are really not accepting the fact that we have to be better, you know, that we have to take responsibility for our own actions. We have to make society a better place. That's something that we have to do. We've gotten to the point where we don't have a choice about that one. More about that later. But, you know, I think the NRA, quite frankly, getting back to the issue of teachers being armed guards, et cetera, I think the NRA is really, really doing itself a disservice to endorse something like that, quite frankly, Jeff. I really do. When the head of the NRA came out and made that comment, I think that that's a huge disservice to his organization, because that is definitely not the solution, and that definitely, in my opinion, is not in the spirit. And you might think I'm crazy by saying this, my friend, but that's definitely not in the spirit of the right to bear arms.
No, it's not. They come out in the aftermath of the shooting, a very emotional time, and What the country really needed was some sort of humble statement,
mm-hmm.
where they say, look, we disagree with the calls for gun control, but this is not the time in the face of this tragedy. But it's so interesting that they come out with the NRA comes out with a response that, you, as you said, I think is self-defeating. The rabid gun folks are already giving money to the NRA. They're already members of the NRA.
Right.
You know, this is simply going to alienate maybe those more moderate folks who don't want guns banned, but they're not sure that they're in with the NRA crowd. So at the end of the day, it's interesting that the moderate voice is always the libertarian voice. You know, it's never the left or the right that's moderate. They're always the ones proposing the knee-jerk reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look to somebody like Ron Paul or libertarians generally for the moderate voice, which says, look, there's no one-size-fits-all solution here. You know, just as we don't want to have kids shooting people, we don't necessarily want to put armed guards everywhere. You know, it's scapegoating and it's blame and it's all getting away from individual responsibility.
What I think is really funny is, you know, you talk about the knee-jerk reactions on, you know, to the right. I just want to reiterate a point that you made here. But on the right, you've got the NRA, where, you know, the leader of that organization is endorsing having armed guards in school. And then on the left, you have someone like Dianne Feinstein who's saying we're going to get rid of all, not all, but, you know, virtually all of the firearms. And those are definitely not the answer. Either one of those solutions are really, really ridiculous, in my opinion, in the sense that they are not dealing with the root of the problem. And the root of the problem, Jeff, is clearly, we've got to make some changes in society, and people have to make those changes. You know, the thing I like about the libertarian philosophy that you've been involved in for, you know, your entire life is that it's a philosophy that makes sense. It's a philosophy that goes back to the individual. You know, take responsibility. You know, we started that particular philosophy, Jeff, on this show back in, I think it was October or November, and we said, look, you know, get up off your backside. You know, make a difference. Do something to make society better. And I started putting up some of the things on our site that Kathy and I are doing. You know, we supported the American Red Cross during the the terrible storm, Sandy. We're supporting the Blaine Boys and Girls Club here in our area. I'm about ready to join the Blaine Chamber of Commerce because, you know, we've got an economic situation up here. In the area that I live in, Jeff, we've got damn near a depression going on. You know, the major employer was a resort down the street from us that just closed down. 225, 230 jobs were lost in this little area. Well, rather than, you know, go outside and wail and gnash my teeth at the suggestion of some of our neighbors, you know, we're getting involved. We're going down to the Chamber of Commerce. We're gonna do fundraisers. We're gonna try and help these people. That's what society, I'm not tooting my own horn here. God, it sounds like it, but I'm not. I'm doing simply what I think society needs to do, Jeff. And what society needs to do is society needs to say, you know what? I got a stake here. I've got a responsibility to make a difference. You know what? That's what your boss says. We have to make a difference. That's why he gets the crowds, Jeff, that he gets. I'm not telling you something you don't know. As you said, he goes to Berkeley, he gets thousands of kids supporting him, and then he turns around and he goes to the diametrically opposed environment of Brigham Young University, and he gets thousands of kids down there. There are elements of society who know what we have to do, and they're coming from both the left and the right. Don't you agree?
Oh, it's great to hear you so fired up. It takes an emotional event like this. But you're right. What we've seen here is that Americans need to turn their backs on government because the left comes out with this nonsense. The right comes out with this nonsense. We need to turn our backs on the government. We need to ignore what they're saying and doing. We need to ignore politics. And we need to just start seeking solutions locally. And maybe that means you helping out at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Blaine. Maybe that means a kid grows up to not be troubled like this young man up in Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wish our politicians were in the same mode. I mean, whether you're talking about John Boehner, whether you're talking about Harry Reid, whether you're talking about Nancy Pelosi, I mean, for God's sakes, these people are interested, in my opinion, in one thing, and that is to keep their damn jobs. You know, the one thing about Ron that I really respect, you know, is you got a physician, you got a licensed physician who can make a living and not have to worry on his own volition helping other people and not have to worry about getting reelected. And am I a little angry right now? Yeah, I'm a little angry right now because I see all of this as heading us in the direction of our country going down this big waterfall. But we're going to do everything that we can to change that. Stick around. Jeff and I are going to be right back.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Food storage? Check. Survival tools? Check. weapons and water filters. Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed, but if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free, all for only $249. Visit afterburnerstoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. Afterburnerstoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my 2 workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Time now, Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. Jeff is still with me here. And to talk a little bit about his perspective of this wonderful thing called the fiscal cliff. Apparently, Congress is going back into session on Sunday to try and come back, to try to come up with an answer to this thing. I guess the comment that I would make is the market, as we're recording this thing, seems to know what the answer is, and that, you know, there isn't an answer. And, you know, the Dow is down, the S&P is down, NASDAQ is down, everything is down, including gold. I think that the markets are realizing that, you know, it's a terrible situation. If strong fundamental moves aren't made to change this thing, that we're going to have a really bad 2013. Jeff, what do you think about that?
Al, Congress is meeting this weekend. I suspect, we can't be sure, but I suspect they will hammer out some kind of short-term deal before Tuesday, which is January 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that short-term deal will prohibit certain tax hikes from going into effect come the new year. And it could be things like the payroll tax, certain individual rates. They might come up with a compromise on capital gains and dividend rates. So it's unclear exactly how that might turn out. There's going to be some increase, I'm sure, on folks making above a certain amount. But, you know, at this point, Al, the markets have already started to price this uncertainty in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure that a deal at this point really helps that much, because when it comes to doing business, when it comes to investing, when you've got this kind of uncertainty about the tax landscape, even if they cobble together a deal this weekend, you know, how has that helped you over the last 3 months, the last 6 months in planning? If you're a small business person, if you're an investor, it hasn't. Too late. So, yes, I mean, certainly I want to see some of these tax hikes that otherwise are going to go into effect January 1. I want to see them stop. That's great, I suppose. But, you know, it's such a dysfunctional system at this point. The only reason they're going to do it
mm-hmm.
is because they're reading the tea leaves, and the administration, the Senate, the House, all start to realize that this is just going to look bad for both parties in the media. And, you know, it's a ridiculous way to do business.
Well, it's a ridiculous way to do business because it continues to be a Band-Aid-type solution. And Band-Aid-type solutions simply aren't going to work. You know, we talk an awful lot on this show, Jeff, about gold, silver, hard assets, et cetera. And from a fundamental standpoint, I have to tell you, with what I'm seeing going on in the economy and with what I'm seeing in terms of a total lack of willingness to really make a change in our country, I think that's going to be really good for gold and silver. But I have to tell you, I think it's going to be absolutely miserable for the conventional stock markets in 2013. I mean, we've got a serious problem. We have a problem that is rotten to the core, and nobody seems to be willing to admit that.
Sure, we've got a toxic environment, both in our economy, with our dollar and the Fed, and, of course, with politics.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put all that together, that's good for precious metals. You know, risk is usually good for precious metals. That doesn't make me happy as a precious metals owner, necessarily. I mean, all that means is gold and silver going up relative to the dollar, or relative to the NASDAQ, or relative to the New York Stock Exchange. They're not necessarily going up in terms of their inherent intrinsic value, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sure, risk is good for precious metals. If we look back at 08, I mean, the crash of 08 when Lehman Brothers went down was the ultimate refutation of the so-called diversification model that guys like Bob Brinker have sold over the years. You know, what we saw was that all asset classes, you know, worldwide, even in different markets, different countries, all went down, mm-hmm. with the exception, really, of gold. So, you know, this idea that you can go out there and diversify yourself to hedge against these ups and downs of the so-called business cycle, it was exposed as a fallacy in 08, and basically everybody got burned. Real estate, stocks, bonds, emerging markets, they all got burned, except for folks who had been listening to the Austrian side of things and buying gold because they knew that the dollar situation was untenable. You know, all this risk doesn't present a lot of opportunities that I can see as I guess, a relatively risk-averse guy.
I have to agree with you 1,000% on that one. It's just amazing to me that I am at my age and you at your age are actually witnessing a precipice. And that precipice is, I think, going to result in the United States falling off the cliff into that precipice. And I think that we're going to see some very, very serious, serious economic conditions in a negative sense in the U.S. in 2013. I mean, you think I'm nuts, Jeff?
Well, it's a mixed bag. It's really hard to say. I did see something CNBC over the weekend where they talked about how much Chinese investment is coming into the United States because Chinese or American goods are still viewed as sort of superior in China, mm-hmm. especially luxury goods. There was a vignette about a Chinese private investment company that had come in and bought a vineyard up in the Napa Valley in California.
Mm-hmm.
And now something like 75% of that vineyard sales, that particular brand of wine, are exports to China. There's still things we do here in America that make us maybe the least bad choice. You know, there's still things about the American economy that maybe make our dollar the least bad choice amongst fiat currencies. But, man, I just don't see how without the growth in real GDP and the resultant capital investment, I don't see how we do anything other than sputter along on fumes at best in 2013, and I hope and I pray that I'm wrong.
What I've been saying ad nauseum on the show is that there really isn't a short-term solution to this problem. I mean, I don't consider myself to be the prettiest or smartest baby in the nursery, but I have to tell you, from what I know about economics and finance, there is absolutely no easy solution to this problem, Jeff. You know, continuing to print money, kick the can down the road, as the old euphemism goes, I mean, you know, that's going to keep the masses quiet. Let them eat cake, so to speak. But you know what? Ultimately, there ain't going to be no chocolate cake around, buddy.
Well, now, if you step back and look at the macro sense of the U.S. federal government balance sheet, U.S. corporate balance sheets, and U.S. individual household balance sheets, the only way that we can get out of this, other than war and destruction, is a massive deleveraging of debt. Fed has to stop printing and stop selling treasury debt. Congress has to start spending only what it brings in revenues. Corporations have to shed debt on that side of the balance sheet. Households have to continue to shed debt. All of that is deflationary. All of that is contraction. And it's going to be years of pain. And it could be a lost generation. I hate to say that because young people are going to bear the brunt of it. But other than going out and waging wars and sort of pillaging, I don't see another easy solution.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, we have colleagues who are saying a war is right around the corner because that was a solution in, the Second World War brought a solution to the Great Depression. Do you think that's going to happen again here, Jeff?
Well, I think that's a huge myth that World War II got us out of the Depression.
Yeah, I would agree, but there are a lot of people who believe it.
Yeah, a lot of people do believe it. Murray Rothbard's written some excellent stuff on that, if anyone cares to Google it. But, you know, it's when you've got a lot of young unemployed folks, whether that's in China or whether that's in the United States, you know, you look at history and it's never good. So let's stop the nonsense talk about Iran. Let's stop meddling in Syria, and let's just turn inward for a little bit and start figuring out how we can start to make and sell stuff again.
Well, let me ask you this. We've got a minute and a half left. Let's talk about the potential negative impact on the bond market. That concerns me a lot. What do you think about that?
Well, look, you've got a single-year deficit in 2013 of over $1 trillion.
Yeah.
In other words, the federal government's going to spend about $1.3 trillion more than it brings in taxes. The U.S. Fed, our central bank, is going to eat up about 60% of that $1.3 trillion deficit by buying our own bonds. Okay?
Yeah.
That cannot be sustained, and at some point, folks, either the bond market goes away or interest rates have to rise.
You know, you're right, and interest rates have to rise, and that brings a total additional problem, and that total additional problem is the one that is, I think, going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, is that if interest rates rise, even a couple of points, the United States will not be able to service its debt, and then what's going to happen? Jeff, you got the final word, buddy. You got 30 seconds.
Well, not only is it not going to be able to service its debt, but we're going to have to see the housing market exposed for what it really is. I mean, the housing market's moribund even at super low interest rates.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at some point, that line item on the U.S. balance sheet, you know, for debt service is going to increase exponentially.
I have to say, unfortunately, I agree 1,000% at this point. I've got to say, ladies and gentlemen, hang on to your hats, get those seat belts and shoulder harnesses tightened up. We're going to have an interesting year in 2013 from a financial standpoint. What does this mean? Precious metals. Irish Tony, you're right.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.